Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In my endless pursuit for world peace, I mean, a rebrand of Making Love, we took the issue to Facebook, to our social media group.
We did. We placed it firmly in the hands of our listeners of how we rebrand Making Love to make it not sound so 70s porn star.
And our group had a fair crack at it, but I think they misread the brief a little bit.
I feel like they did too.
They jumped in. They were trying to give us different alternatives to having sex, not making love.
There's a very distinct difference because there's so many different ways that we can talk about having sex and fucking and like all of the euphemisms, but we're talking making love, like super being intimate and have that meaning without that really gross, like you want to make love,
yes,
baby, 70s porn stash vibe.
Connotation. I think the winner from our somewhat awkward attempt at solving it was "want some sucky fucky." Made me laugh, but then
so romantic,
so deep,
so romantic.
But then someone on the page linked to like a compilation of all the different ways you can euphemisms for having sex. Some good ones jumped up. Liz, would you ever want to play a game of Mr. Wobbly Hides His Helmet?
No.
How about mattress dancing? That sounds quite nice.
I don't mind mattress dancing. I've heard mattress mambo before, not mattress.
Or the horizontal tango or whatever it is.
Yes.
An amorous congress.
That sounds like a political.
Yeah, it sounds nice on the surface, but then you think,
what Bill Clinton did.
That's right. And how does Congress work normally? Normally, it's a frigid, frustrating system of trying to get things done. Yes, I'd like to submit a bill to the. To the bedroom that
I dissent.
That tonight I enjoy myself. Jiffy stiffing?
Nope.
No good?
Nope.
The forbidden polka?
Mysterious.
Struggle snuggling?
Definitely not.
Just the. No? No good? Squishing the ghibli bits?
No. I thought you were going to say giblets, and I was like thinking of. I just have this naked cooked chicken in my head.
Well, if nothing else works, how about locking legs and making gravy?
No. I don't want that gravy on anything.
So, readers, we return. The ball is now back in your court since you have failed to
get it right,
to smooth
listeners.
This over. We need an alternative to making love. For having sex, for making love.
Look, we are grateful for your input. This is hilarious.
Oh, yes, it's all been very
funny.
But
it's not solving our PR crisis for making love.
No. Not quite yet.
Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past, everybody. I am Liz Best.
And Tom Harris. Hello, everyone. Still passionate as ever about the core issues in society.
We talk about the things that matter.
That's right.
So today is one of our main episodes, which means we have a guest.
Yes, we do.
We have a guest. He is host of the podcast I Work With a Nightmare. He's also a commercial radio host in Mackay. We have Sam Blacker.
Woo!
Hello!
Hey, Sam!
I'll be forwarding you my resume after this, after I've just found out you work in radio. That's very nice. Very convenient.
Mate, there are no jobs in radio.
Bugger.
Yeah, everyone's getting made redundant.
That's true.
No one creative has a job at the moment that's sustainable.
So, Sam, you're calling in from up north in Queensland. Is that
right? The place even purer from COVID than the rest of you in Queensland. We're the real rednecks who are just really keen on those borders staying closed.
You were keen on the borders staying closed before it was a thing.
Oh, mate, it's crazy. Yeah.
Are you part of the tribe? Some people believe that the north of Queensland should break away and form its own state. Are you on that train?
I am, but not for the traditional reasons. Oh. Like, I, you know, they're just like, we want to be independent and all that. I want it to happen, but I want to be able to film it and just
document like, that.
I want to see what happens, you know? Like, just when they're like, oh, no, the people who organize things are gone.
Yes.
Look, we left all the note takers down south. Like, oh, shit.
The purest form of documentary is pretty much just sitting back and watching shit fall to pieces.
Yeah, no offense to any North Queenslanders. They're all lovely people, but yeah.
Yeah, it'll you be live very, there. You need to keep them happy.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... What? So how does this go?
How it goes is... You've got a story to tell us and we've got some rules to tell you because that's we're the buzz killers.
Like, yes, we have to lay down the law sometimes.
Look, there's not too many rules. We need you to have an alias for whoever you're talking about today. Mm-hmm. If you slip up and say their name, we can bleep you. It has happened. But it's probably better if you have an alias. And threats. You can't threaten anybody. death threats. We're not telling you what happened for us to get to this rule.
But... And that rule isn't specific to you, my friend. It's we give it to everyone. It's not just we didn't see your face come up and go, okay
this guy
here we
needs
go.
The threats rule. Yeah. So you can't, you know, don't like threaten to come after anybody or, you know, do that off mic and we can sort something out for you. Not saying anything. And also...
Anyone that pieces together who this story is about and orbiting satellites attached to it, keep quiet. Don't ruin it for the rest of us.
Yeah, look, the don't be a dick rule is well in force for all our listeners. If you figure out who he's talking about, we don't do doxing on this podcast. No, thank you, please.
No, thank you.
All right, so Sam, set us up for us. Where does this story start?
Well, I think I was talking to you. I've got a couple.
Cool.
That are more short term because I think my dating relationship life has been very much a case of going for people who are very much not emotionally available and me being too emotionally available.
Wonderful. That's always such a great start.
Oh, isn't that? But my first serious relationship was definitely a turning point for me. It happened in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Was dating for about 6 months. And, you know, when you're in your early 20s and you don't have a fucking clue what you're doing.
Yeah, we're well aware of that in this podcast. It's most our guests. It's
just like, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, all cards on the table. And this will make, maybe I'm the dirtbag in this, but she was a friend's ex.
Okay. Right.
You have the answers, but was there a long time difference after they split up? You know, was there treading on toes too much, or was it, in your opinion, above board and okay?
Well, I was led to believe by both of the other parties that they had not been together for some time. Well, for like a month.
Led and to they believe? Had
not, yeah, though they only dated for a month.
Your Honour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I only found out after I ended up breaking up with the girl that she had slept with the former friend a day before I got together with her.
Ooh.
So,
oh boy,
yeah, that friendship was lost. But.
Right. Oh, did you talk to that friend at all about?
Yeah. He didn't tell me either.
Okay. Yeah, that's not good. You don't need either of those people in your life.
Yeah. So okay. it is what it is. And obviously, trust is an important thing.
Yeah.
And that led to some issues further on. I stayed over at her place. This is the big hurdle for me. I'm getting into it pretty early on.
Yeah.
I stayed over at her place, got up early. I'm a tech addict, always on Facebook. I opened the laptop to look at Facebook, saw a new message, started reading it, realized that it was her account logged in.
Oh, no.
Now, before we go any further on this, backstory on the guy who was sending messages. She had been flirting with him when she was flirting with me before we started dating. And about a week previous to her sending him sending the message, we'd gone out together to a place where he was. As we left, she just said, "Oh, can you put your arm around me?"
Yep.
And she did it to rub it in his face. Sus. I found that out afterwards.
Yeah.
Yes.
I then found out that he had started messaging her. She told me this, but she said the phrase, "But it's pretty hard to have a conversation when you're messaging a brick wall." So she was implying that she wasn't replying back.
Of course she was.
Mm-hmm. So I opened messages to see things like, "What are you up to?" And her being like, "Well, I'm still in bed, so I'm still naked."
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Him saying, "I really want to see you. Oh, I can't right now." All that sort of stuff. Just never went beyond that, as far as I'm aware, but
that's enough. Like, my personal rule is I would never do anything that I wouldn't do if my partner was standing right next to me. And I feel like that's the definition of cheating for me, is that if you do something or talk to somebody in a way that you wouldn't talk to them if your partner was right next to you, that's the line already crossed.
Yeah, you should pretend like your social messaging is going to be read out in court one day.
Yes.
It should read totally innocently and you can just stand there innocent as all you like. That's what I feel.
So did you ever bring this up with her, or did this all come out in the wash?
Oh, so basically there's 3 days where I went, not radio silence, but was definitely cold as I was trying to figure out what to do. Because I also was struggling with the fact that I'd read her messages. So
and that's really a hard thing.
Yes.
I've been in that position before, and it's just like, you've done a wrong thing, but you've discovered a wrong thing. So who's more wrong at this point?
And it wasn't an intentional wrong thing I did, but I could hear literally everyone listening being like, "Sure, you accidentally read her messages."
Well,
but
look,
I did.
If you'd picked up her phone, I feel like that's different from opening up the computer and seeing that she was logged in. Like, I feel like that's like when you touch someone's phone, someone else's phone is obviously there. Phone, but if it's your computer, I feel like that's she's shat on your territory there. That's her issue.
Yeah, so that's a whole thing. After 3 days, I ended up talking to her, and I was young. I'd lost a best friend out of having the relationship.
Yeah.
I didn't want to, you know, throw it all away for nothing. So I forgave her verbally, but it took me a while to realize that I hadn't forgiven her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
So when you brought it up, and did you bring it up with her, or did you just internally forgive her?
No. So she ended up after, I think, the third day just calling me and being like, "What's going on?
Yeah.
Why are you being cold and distant? I'm not great. I don't have a poker face." And I just blurted it out and said, "Saw these messages."
And what was her reaction?
Well, she cried.
Oh, right, of course. And it's really hard to do anything when somebody's crying.
Yes, like, it's such a wonderful defense, instant defense. Oh, bugger, you're crying. There's
I think I've mentioned that in my podcast, I Work With a Nightmare. Like, it's hard to be the victim when the aggressor is using the move of the victim.
Yes, that's a really, really good way of putting it. Ugh. So did she have any explanation for it, or was it just forgive me?
She was just flirting. She didn't mean to, yada, yada.
It meant nothing to me.
Yeah, all that stuff. And I was young and dumb and the rest of the saying. And I said, okay, I forgive you. But I didn't. It took me a while to realize, but I didn't.
And then there was
just, probably another 4 months.
Nice, yeah.
Maybe, yeah. And there was it came down to bad communication, bad trust. There were multiple other issues that started occurring. We had a big gathering where it was half her friends, half mine, the first time they'd met, and I'd met half of them and she'd met half of mine. Mm-hmm. And I'm a social butterfly, so I just wandered around having a chat, getting to know all her friends and getting to know my friends. And unbeknownst to me, one of her friends had looked over to me and been like, "Oh, he's pretty cute," because she hadn't introduced me yet.
Mm.
And she got in her head, "He's spending so little time with me that my friends don't even think he's with me."
Oh, my God. Dear. You can't see it, but I just did a really big eye roll, everybody. It was enormous. My eyes are now in the back of my skull.
Off the scale.
That led to a fight outside the building at the end where she stormed off and said, "Don't follow me," and then yelled at me on the phone afterwards for not following her and letting her go to a tram alone.
Yes. Yes.
The hypocrisy of battle.
Right. Yes, that was... There was a lot of bad communication. There was another time, it was her birthday party. First time meeting her parents, everything else. I didn't know a lot of her friends. It was her 21st. So I was like, I know how these work. You need to socialize. I'll make a friend and I'll just hang out with them and let that happen.
Yes.
No one told me that the friend was renowned for trying to steal her boyfriends.
Dag nabbit.
Yes.
That was the wrong fucking friend.
Yeah, the one person who was having chats with me. Again, caused a fallout, even though
it's just like a series of unfortunate events that have just all been pictured the wrong way, and that you've come out looking like the bad guy when I don't think you know. This is all ridiculous.
Yeah. So then we were planning an overseas trip together.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to go to Europe. And I was starting to wake up in the middle of the night and find her gone. And she'd gone to another room and was crying because she'd gotten it in her head that we were going to travel together and break up while traveling.
Oh, dear.
I don't understand that. Like, where did that come from? Where did that come from?
Oh, look, deep anxiety, I'm sure, a lot of other issues. And she was struggling with a lot of things. She'd tell me she felt like she was in a dark hole and she was never going to get out. She gave up a degree with 6 months left to go. She was lost and I was her anchor. And I'm not a mental health expert, but I told her that she needed to.
Yeah. See one. Yeah, I think and we need to normalize that. Therapy's not a thing for broken people. Therapy's a thing for all of the people to learn how to, like everything else, you need to practice things before you're good at them. And so why would you not go to a class learning how to practice how to human well?
God, yeah. Therapy is much more than just solving a mental illness. It's it can unlock and assist so many different areas of your life.
Like communication.
Each and every week our lesson is communicate, which is everyone needs to learn how to communicate a bit better.
Yeah.
But certainly, therapy, go to it. Everyone go to therapy.
My favourite metaphor is going to therapy is like shoring up the wall of a dam rather than plugging the hole in the dam when the hole's already burst.
Yes,
exactly. Exactly.
So that was starting to cause an issue and I told her to seek help. She was refusing. So I planned to end it and I went over to her place. I was like, look, you're not seeking help. I knew the line in my head. You're not seeking help. I can't be your counselor. That was my argument.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to her and the first thing she said was, before I said anything, I took on board what you said. I'm going to seek counselor.
Well, that's good.
She's like, I fixed it. You can leave now.
That's good timing.
And I was floundering, but I was still committed to trying to end it.
At least she has a therapist to talk about this potential breakup with.
Right.
And then as I tried to end it, she said, well, maybe it's better if we break up because I'd rather be with someone who tried to fix things first rather than just end them without trying to fix them.
What?
Now, I was young and didn't really like being called a chicken because I was a dude.
Nobody.
No one likes that.
I'll see you at our wedding.
I agreed to keep trying, but it wasn't working.
You'd already tried to fix things. Mm. Oh, way to make you feel like the victim. Mm-hmm.
I'm not fast on my feet. When a curveball hits me, it floors me.
Yeah, look, and then when you're younger, you're even slower somehow. Like, our brains just don't work in our 20s. They just don't. They turn to mashed potato until we're at least 30.
Yeah. So I did that for a week, and I verbalized my issues with some of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she messaged me saying she wanted to catch up and she was going to come by my place. And then she arrived at my door with all my things in a bag, walked in, took her things, said it was over. And then as she left, said, maybe you should reconsider who your friends are and what you tell them.
Ooh.
And then left.
Wow.
What?
So one of your friends.
So first of all, I have two things that I'm angry about here. Number one, like, since when is it not okay to talk to your friends about your problems? And number two, who the fuck are your friends that they're going straight to her and being like, oh my God, did you hear what Sam said?
I didn't even really have any friends in common with her, so I don't know who told her.
Who? Yeah, like who goes, you know what, I'm gonna overstep this, and even though I'm not really friends with this girl, I'm gonna go straight to her. Like,
there's a snitch in the organization. You don't know who it is.
Listeners, you can talk with your friends about these things. This is literally what friends are there for, to talk about your life and help you with things and provide good companionship and not fuck you over. So yeah, wow.
I then quickly changed my flight that was going to be to France to be to Spain, and she changed her returning flight, and we never crossed paths in Europe.
Amazing. Wow.
Gee.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I just can't get over your shitty friends, Sam.
No. Well, I've had some wild ones.
Evidently so. How long was the relationship in total, Sam?
It was 10 months.
10 months. And what started you guys off together? How did it start? Did it start all happiness and really nice?
Yeah, it started as hanging out as friends, a lot in common, all that sort of, the normal shared music tastes, that sort of thing. I was a wanker when I was younger and very much like, oh, someone else who likes The Cat Empire. I know, I was a douche.
It must be meant to be.
The first step is recognizing it, my friend. The first step is acceptance.
You ignore the red flags, like the fact that she lived alone with two cats and I'm allergic to cats.
Oh.
But you see the signs, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, rose-coloured glasses, you can't see red flags through those.
That's right.
No, you cannot. Yeah, so that was a big eye-opening relationship for me.
And so how did that affect other relationships down the track for you?
I think it made me clingier.
Okay.
I either took the wrong lesson or didn't take the lesson. I definitely sort of kept letting people walk over me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, to lighten the tone, had one date with a girl who was weird. Mm. And it's fine to have these interests, but first date started going on about how she liked to, when she was on a drive, keep an eye open for dead animals on the side of the road and watched to make sure they decomposed so that she could collect their skeletons. And she had an existing large collection of animal skeletons.
Did you walk into her house and just be like, what the fuck is going on with all these bones?
Well, I never went to her house.
So
here's the kicker. One other detail. She then also on that date started telling me a story about a friend of hers who had seen a dead echidna on the side of the road and decided to check its pouch to make sure there was no baby echidna there.
Yes, that's a good thing to do.
I
was going to jut in
and
before.
She saw the leg of the animal and tried to pull it out and kept pulling, and it seemed stuck until she realised that it was a male echidna and she was pulling on the dead male echidna's penis.
God.
So this was all communicated to me on a first date.
Come here, little guys.
I responded to that.
Sorry.
By asking for a follow-up date. She turned me down.
The bone collector turned you down. Look, probably a lucky break. I feel like if you went to her house, you never would have gotten out.
That's quite possible. But then that followed on to another relationship that went for 6 months. That screamed red flags in terms of commitment. I literally asked her if she wanted to do to take things seriously and, you know, whatever, and she freaked out. So that wasn't a great sign.
Oh, like how soon in did you ask if she wanted to take things seriously?
A few weeks.
Right. And yet you stayed together for 6 months even though she...
Well, a little after that she turned around and said, yes, sorry, I'm not good at this, but I want to. And
you're
I
can fix her. I can help.
Yeah. I think it's more like, I'm in regional Australia. This is a single woman. But yeah, sure. So that the biggest red flag was then when I turned to her one morning in bed and said, I think I'm developing feelings for you. And she turned to me and said, and looked me dead in the eyes and just said, I have a feeling for you.
Just one.
Just one feeling. She didn't elaborate onto what that feeling was.
I have feeling for you.
I feel something.
Did she elaborate?
No elaboration. Single feeling. That's all she wrote.
And what did you? Did that moment just make you? Did you just like curl up inside yourself and die? Like, what do you do when someone says that?
She had given so little to that point. Me being the optimist I am, she's willing to admit this.
She has a feeling. Oh, God. I just imagine you now as Joseph Gordon-Levitt in 500 Days of Summer, like dancing down the street to like, what a feeling.
Yeah. It's not far off. This was a girl who was like the poster child for emotional unavailability. I bought her a Christmas gift before Christmas. She didn't. She kept talking about how on New Year's Eve she was going to be going to her friend's place. Everyone was invited and they were going to see, it was on the harbor and they're going to see the fireworks. I kept hinting that I had no plans. Until probably a couple of days out, she invites me.
Oh, thank goodness, right?
Yeah, but it took a lot. It was fine. This is another wanky thing. We sat around and her group of friends apparently on New Year's Eve like to do that thing where they go around and say three things from the year they've been grateful for.
I don't know what happened there. A little bit of I'm fine. I just need some water.
It'll be a quick meeting at New Year's this year.
And I watched as her friends went around who were in relationships and said their partners.
Oh, yes.
Were things beautiful. They were grateful for, yes. You know? And I said, you know, I'm grateful for meeting this person. And then she was next and she didn't mention me.
She's like, I'm grateful for food and dogs.
She was grateful for rediscovering yoga.
Oh, that's even worse.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for having a feeling.
That was a pretty big sign.
And did you just justify that in your head as, she's so private, she just probably doesn't want to say it in front of everybody? Like, you justify those little moments away sometimes, don't you?
No. At that point, I was stewing. Not pleased. The next day, dropped her off at home where she lives with her parents. She did not invite me to meet her parents. Another major warning sign in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I went home and then a couple of days later, she asked if I wanted to catch up for dinner. Now, we lived about an hour away. So the dinner place we decided on was a 40-minute drive from my place, 20 minutes from hers. And we got there and I knew. I was like, either she's breaking up with me, and if she's not, she's getting an ultimatum from me that she needs to lift her game.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I walked up to her and she said, first, Merry Christmas, and gave me a bag with gifts in it.
Cool. Well, that's a good sign, right?
That included a Star Wars mug and a pair of board shorts that didn't fit me.
Okay. Do you like Star Wars?
I mean, it's okay.
Okay, this gift is a miss.
Does the mug fit you?
And then she said, we've got to have a conversation. And she broke up with me after giving me a Christmas gift. And I was like,
the presents to soften the blow?
I don't know. What was
going
on?
Did she just have junk in her house she needed to get rid of? Mm. I am so confused.
Yeah, no, it was someone who really didn't know. Her line was, when we're together, it's good, but it took us being apart over Christmas for me to realise that it's just the sex.
Oh, your sound dropped out a bit for a minute there. What was that?
Oh, sorry, you went in lag there for me as well. So she hit me with the line, we're really good together. We were together, but it took us being apart over Christmas for me to realise that I was just enjoying like the physical connection, like the sex.
Oh, and so when the sex isn't there, she's like, boo you, not into it.
Yeah. Cool, thanks.
I suppose we know what that feeling was.
Yeah, just, that was a feeling just, in her nether regions. A little tingle and that's it.
Yeah, so anyway, that
all
ended.
Right. Well, this is the portion where we want to talk about what you've learnt. What have you
learned? I hit
you with
one more detail straight after that.
Yeah, please.
God.
It's not done.
Oh, God.
I hit the apps because it's how you move on in my mind when I was not quite emotionally mature. And that's how I met her. And I'd hit the apps the day afterwards just for a bit of an ego boost and saw her profile on the app we met on,
mm-hmm.
and it said she was active 3 days ago.
Oh. Mm.
So
that's not
she was using it before she broke up with me, and I was like, oh, it's not great.
Well, look, you weren't there, man. The sex wasn't happening. She needed the sex from somewhere.
Yeah.
At least she ended things with you, I suppose.
I feel like you end before you go on Tinder, Thomas.
There's an order. There's a general order.
At least she eventually got around to ending, like, to being honest and telling you. I know it's not great, but don't get me wrong. I'm not.
It's better than fucking around behind your back, I guess.
Yeah, she came clean and went.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
Why is the bar so low that makes it better? This makes me so cranky. Isn't it good that she broke up with you just after she'd already started exploring other options?
Good isn't the word. Better is the word.
I mean,
it's better that she
Thing is, you don't know how long she was on the app for. I just said she was last on 3 days ago.
Yeah.
True.
She could have been on before then.
That's very true.
But yeah, exactly. That's the pessimist. Oh. That was years ago now, so that's okay.
So wow. What did you learn from all of these ridiculousness and missed opportunities and emotional unavailability? What have you come out of it with, Sam?
I learned that there's nothing wrong with me.
Great. Confidence is good.
I'm in a 3-year relationship now.
Good. Congratulations.
And we went kayaking on our first date, camping in a place with no reception on our second. It was kayaking on a 1-person kayak with 2 of us, so we were essentially straddling each other.
I mean, that's one thing to get things going.
Yeah. We went pretty fast pretty early, and I did the same stuff. I didn't hold back.
And it's so far working out.
Yeah, well, I mean, she moved to Queensland from New South Wales with me, and
that'll do it.
It's gone pretty well.
Oh, congratulations.
That's awesome. So
my lesson learned is to not doubt yourself because of the other people.
I think that is a really good lesson to learn. Tom, what have you learned from listening to these stories?
I reckon, Sam had the misfortune of being sort of somewhat betrayed by several of his friends, like by a friend.
Yeah, so dirty.
So we covered, so it's important to be able to go to for your friends who are close to you to talk about an issue in mind. That's a good thing. What is a bad thing is if you are said friend, is to then betray that trust.
Travel that information back to the person who it's about. No, thank you. So that's rude. Especially if you're not like already her friend first and foremost. Like, loyalty, people.
That's right. So I suppose choose your friends carefully, everybody at home. Would be my little Liz. What are you, any thoughts?
Notice the signs of emotional unavailability in people. I do the same thing. I go for these people who are just like brooding and tortured and like just they're not 100% there for me. And I just think it's just because they haven't found the right person to love them yet. And, you know, I don't want to begrudge them that. So maybe if I'm just here, then maybe, you know, they'll open up or blah, blah, blah. No, if somebody is continually shutting you out of their life in different ways, whether that be not inviting you to a party until the last minute or whether that be, not being open about the way that they feel or being like semi-open about having a feeling but not telling you what that feeling is. I feel like that's a pretty good sign that you guys are mismatched. And if you're, you know, an emotionally giving person, you are never going to be fulfilled by being with somebody who won't give you anything. That's what I think I've learned from this episode.
Yes, that's very, very valid.
Oh, look, Sam, I'm so glad that your story has a happy now. I'm not going to say ending because we're not there yet. I'm not going to push you over to the altar, but I'm happy that you've gotten to a place where you're confident in the way that you choose to love people, because I think that's really important to not doubt the way that you are as a human and to make sure that other people telling you that that you're not loving them the way that they want to be loved doesn't mean that you change who you are. I think that's really important. So, yeah.
Certainly. And
thank you.
Before we wrap up, Sam, is there anything you'd like to plug? You mentioned a podcast before. Do you want to talk about
Tell
that?
Tell us all about it.
Well, I'll give you a chance.
Yes. I work with a nightmare done in the style of true crime. I get people to anonymously share stories of toxic coworkers or bosses.
So I work with a nightmare. Is that it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. it's a wild ride. There have been some crazy stories. I would love people to listen, or if they want to share stories as well, they can hit me up. I keep people's identities anonymous. I repitch voices. We use aliases. I change identifying details because legally we don't want to get sued by companies.
Yes, workplaces.
Correct.
So it's a similar kind of vein to our little show you've just guessed.
His is very well produced, Tom. His is a very true crimey. Ours is nice and chatty and have a drink with your friends over how shit humans are. And he's I'm going to tell you how shit humans are.
Yes.
I don't know if by the time this airs whether my episode will have been out or not, but I have recorded an episode of I Work With a Nightmare. So if it is out by the time this episode's out, I'll share this through the week as well.
So if anyone wants to have their hand held into Sam's podcast, they can go and listen to Liz's episode.
Exactly.
Hear a familiar voice on a new podcast.
He hasn't repitched my voice because honestly this is some people that I don't give a shit about knowing who I am. So.
I just released an episode this week and I do them fortnightly.
Yeah.
So your episode is the next one. So it'll be not this Thursday, but next Thursday.
Okay. Well, it will definitely be out by the time this is out because we record quite far in advance. So I will reshare just in case you want to hear my tale of woe. And then if you get inspired, do contact Sam through the details that he gives on his podcast because he's looking for guests. We're looking for guests. Everyone wants guests on their podcast. And I'm sure that you all have shitty stories to tell about both work and love because there's so much crap going on in both, especially in 2020. My God. All right, guys. Sam, thank you so much for spending your morning with us, telling us about your crappy dating history.
Glad to. Thanks for having me on.
And everybody, learn to communicate for God's sake.
Gollum has an unhealthy obsession about some bit of jewelry.
Doesn't even know this is what the precious is. Stupid therapist.
Cookie Monster's a bit of a stress eater.
Cookie, cookie, cookie!
And homicidal robots really just want their best friend back.
I know I did and said things that she regrets. But why is that my problem?
Well, what all these monsters really need is therapy. The podcast Therapy for Monsters finally puts monsters in a therapy chair with a real therapist. Me, Tim, your friendly neighborhood therapist. If you'd like to learn a bit and laugh a bit, check out Therapy for Monsters on your favorite podcast app.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.